Steady in the boat. Steady in the boat.
I'm absurd.
Stop piggybacking on what you said!
Good students and damn fine journalists. That's what we are here at Alligator Sports. Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Wednesday, March 3rd, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Berry, and joining me today, three guys who are on exceptional 40-yard dashes. We got Bobby Colovi.
I clock in around a 5-flat.
Kyle Maestri.
About a 6-flat.
And Phil Kegler.
I was going to stop watching this world and clock my time.
Yep, Phil runs a 4-ever. That's before running the 40. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. We're going to talk about the NFL Combines, what some of the former Gators are up to there, some of the results, what it means, and some of the stuff coming up there for future guys looking to get drafted. We're also going to talk about Florida basketball and how my future covering this team looks dismal because I'm going to be covering a game in front of 2,500 fans in the O'Connell Center as part of the NIT. I'm going to wrap the show up with our weekly awards, maybe some Gator guarantees. Let's start off with the NFL Combine. Bobby, you got some results. What some former Gators are up to?
The big event for them, obviously, is the 40-yard dash. First, we'll go with the people who decide not to run, which is Jermaine Cunningham, Aaron Hernandez, Brandon James, and Brandon Spikes. They all didn't run. The people who did, Riley Cooper clocked in at a 4.52, which was 19th among wide receivers. Carlos Dunlap clocked in at 4.71, which was tied for 9th among defensive ends. Joe Hayden ran a slow 4.57. Which was 33rd among the cornerbacks. Marquise Pouncey was a 5.23, so not much difference between him and Hayden, and he was 20th among offensive linemen. Tebow ran 4.72, which was 4th for quarterbacks, and then Major Wright ran a very surprising 4.48, and he was 11th among the defensive backs.
I think they just mixed up Major Wright and Joe Hayden's times.
Right, yeah.
So they confused them.
The 4.48 would have still been slow for Joe Hayden.
Yeah, not...
I mean, what like people were thinking like Hayden was going to run. It was going to be like low 4.4. Maybe even snuck in a 4.3, and he put it out a 4.57. And that was his better time because you get two runs. And the second run, he did a 4.6. So Joe Hayden's slow, apparently. Mm. That was news to everybody.
Joe Hayden is not slow. Joe Hayden ran a slow 40-yard dash.
Yeah, he did an interview afterwards, and he pretty much said like he's never ran a 4.5 ever. He's always been clocked at, you know, below it. I think UF has a board somewhere in one of their many like secret rooms that has all the people's 40-yard times, and he was what, a 4.33, right, Phil?
Yeah.
And everybody had a very ridiculous time, and I don't think any of them got even close to running that when they do at the combine or pro day. But he will run again at the pro day. He's going to need to do better because people are talking about how he's dropping out of the top 10 just because of that 40 time, which is somewhat the big thing is that he's 5'10". He's short.
Right.
If you're going to be a small, you better be fast. So people are now getting concerned that you're going to draft a small, slow cornerback. So expect him to get drilled with a lot of questions soon. The big one was Aaron Hernandez, I guess, had some sort of injury. Do you know?
Yeah, he's had a back injury, but he's running at pro day also, so you'll get two 40s that kind of mean so as much as a 40 could possibly mean at pro day. So both of them are going to run. And the one that is kind of alarming that didn't run is Brandon Spikes because, like, the knock on him is that he might be slow. He didn't really do anything to disprove that. But he didn't prove it either, so I don't know, whatever. That's how he wants to play it. Good for him. And they can just watch his game tape, which is very good. So we'll see what happens.
That might be a good move. I mean, he's going to get – if teams start, you know, pestering him, like, why don't you run the 40? Like, how slow are you? What is your time? Like, if he starts getting
slow
that –
are you?
he probably should run at pro day just to, like, give them a time just to shut him up.
Right.
But if no one's really bothering him about that, if people aren't too concerned – but what his 40 time is, then if I'm him, I don't run it because all you do is you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, here's the thing about running two 40s. If you run two slow 40s, then you're slow. If you run one and choose to abstain from the other one, then you just had a bad day, and you can use that excuse. Yeah. So, you know, it's a built-in excuse no matter what.
The one for me is Brandon James.
Yeah,
Brandon James has absolutely nothing going for him on tape. Nothing. And he could have impressed people with a really good 40 time. And I don't know what his – I guess he had the ankle injury right before. So
yeah,
I guess he wasn't comfortable running or something, but he did not run. So pretty much to me, his trip to the combine, other than a couple interviews probably, was pretty pointless.
Wait, all he did was bench press?
All he did was bench press.
You know,
I can imagine a Brandon James interview going very well, of course.
Yeah, so Brandon James pretty much went to the NFL Combine for a free trip to Indianapolis. And, I mean, who can blame him? Who doesn't want to go to Indianapolis?
Here's the thing. He goes and does nothing. Why can't they let Ryan Stamper go and just do what Brandon James didn't? Like, come on.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Did Major Wright and Brandon James bench the same thing?
Yeah.
Am I reading this correct?
Okay. Correct.
Thoughts?
I don't know. It's just surprising. I don't know. Maybe I thought – I guess I thought maybe Major would be stronger.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know. Brandon James – big little guy.
Little big man.
Yeah.
Brandon Spikes did not bench as well, which kind of doesn't surprise me because from what I've heard
so he's slow and he doesn't have any strength. Yeah.
From what I've heard is slow he's not weak. A big gym guy. He doesn't do a lot of those type of lifts. And, I mean, that's fine. I'm trying to remember. Greg Jones from Florida, went to Florida State. And now I think he's still with the Jaguars. When he got to college, they pretty much were like, all right, how much do you bench so we can put you on a workout? He said, I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, how much do you bench? Like, give us, like, a range. He's like, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? He's like, I've never benched. They're like, how do you not bench? Like, they get on the bench. We'll see what you can do. And he did, I think there was, like, 405, which is four of the big 45 plates. And they said, if you've never benched, how can you do this? He said, I do push-ups, like, a lot. They're like, all right, well, you know what? Stick with that because clearly it's working for you.
Right.
So, I mean, you can be strong and, you know, lift a lot without actually doing it. So I kind of believe that Spikes, he doesn't really come off as a big, I don't know, like, for some reason, to me, he just doesn't seem like that big, like, gym warrior that's going to be in the gym 24-7 like Tebow or Joe Hayden. So I think it was probably a smart move because if he, you know, goes and does an embarrassing low number, then all of a sudden people are like, well, I guess he's not strong, he's slow, he's got all these complaints, he's stiff, and people are going to start be concerned about drafting Spikes.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. I mean, it's all about you only want to really make yourself look good unless you're pressed to make yourself do other things. Kind of like I do think Spikes will run a 40 at the pro day. The one thing I wanted to see is I would have been interested just to see how much bench press Tim Tebow could have done.
Right.
I mean, I understand that he didn't, and he did it. He was like a freak show and all the other ones. But the funny thing is to me is his initial reasoning for not bench pressing is that he was going to throw because, like, bench pressing would mess up your throw, I guess, potentially. And then he chose not to throw. So he could have just gone and bench press. Probably would have set a QB record or something. I don't know. It
would have been fun. But, I mean, with Tebow, everyone was kind of impressed with the numbers he put up. He tied the record for the vertical jump with 38.5 feet.
Jump to the roof.
I mean, 38.5 inches. Yeah.
Quite a Superman.
Able to leap over single build.
It was quite the jump. I wish everyone could have seen it. I don't know. I think we all kind of knew he was athletic. I think he's more athletic than everyone thought he was. But it really... He's a quarterback. He's not going to be jumping over people.
Let me tell you, this worked out great with Josh Freeman. Yeah. We were talking about this the other night.
Who was it that tied? I think
it was a McCown
Josh,
brother.
It was Josh McCown. So I mean,
I mistakenly thought it was Luke.
If there's one thing I want to judge my quarterback on, it's how high he can jump.
Yeah. Right.
So
well,
I mean,
he's just going to jump pass every time.
And then the 4.72.
No wonder. Yeah. No wonder the jump pass is so effective.
Yeah. He's 38 feet up there. He just tosses it right. Just picks whoever he wants to be down there.
And then his 40 time, I kind of thought, I said I'd be impressed if he ran under a 4.7, so he was right around there. So, I mean, it was kind of what I expected from him for the 40. He hasn't thrown, and that's all that matters to anybody.
He will throw a pro day, we've said, right?
Yeah, he will
Two
throw.
2 weeks from today.
That's the big that's the big reveal. They're going to, going to have, I like McCall, I think he said they're going to have a curtain and a smoke screen coming out when he comes out to throw. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be the biggest dog and pony show ever.
I've heard it's in the swamp, but I've heard that just any public can walk in. So it'd be interesting to see if fans are actually crazy enough to come watch.
I like the idea that he's not gonna throw in the swamp. They're gonna bring him into a secret back alley somewhere, and that's where he throws. That way, no one can actually see it. Still,
no video allowed.
Yeah, no.
As far as being impressed or not impressed, the combine's almost near worthless to me. Like, I almost like to just see it just from like a competitive standpoint, mm-hmm. the interviews and stuff like that. But as far as what times these guys are putting up, I couldn't care less because time and again, you see somebody run a slow time who ends up being a really great pro, or somebody runs a great time who ends up not doing anything. So. It's really stupid to me. Like, Chris Johnson was fast before he ran that 40 and after he ran that 40, mm-hmm. and it didn't really matter what he did one time lining up on the line. Like, you look at a guy like Terrell Suggs who went to the combine, ran a horrible time, like, worse than what Dunlap did by far. A lot of people were dropping him on their boards. And he ends up playing like an outside linebacker spot in a 3-4 and being one of the best at it in the NFL. Yeah. So I just don't care about any of this. Jerry Rice was really slow. Emmitt Smith was really slow. None of this really matters to me. And like, so the Tebow stuff, it's like, I'm very impressed for a vertical jump. Like, not for a quarterback, just right. As far as vertical jumps go, that was a hell of a vertical jump. Like, I wonder how many guys on the basketball team can jump 38 and a half inches. Like, that's all I really thought. Like, I don't really care about his stock going up or down, but I don't really care about any of this. So.
Florida's basketball team? Yeah. Jump? No, not many.
No one. Tyus, just Tyus,
maybe
probably.
Maybe Tyus, I don't know. But yeah, like, I agree completely with what you're saying. You have to take it all into consideration with game tape, the interviews. I think, like you said, the interviews might be the most interesting thing. Who comes to these things prepared? Who doesn't pull a Percy Harvin and comes to him, you know, high, basically. But even Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
Or like, pulls an Andre Smith from Alabama last year and just show up and then bolt before anything happens.
The fear reflex is something I'd be like.
I think he realized, like, he walked in, a coach saw him, saw how shaped he was, like, oh, God. He's like, I got to get out of here before the rest of them see me. But I don't know. The big thing for me is that it's not just these drills, although these are what is glorified. There's other type of workouts that they do, position-specific drills, that they want to see, for especially for cornerbacks and stuff, is, you know, how they're doing in the back pedal, how they open their hips to, mm-hmm. you know, to run with a guy, all that type of stuff they want to see. And that's very important just to see in person how well someone can move. Because, I mean, you can see how someone's going to turn and run with a guy on tape, but you can't really see just how fluid of a motion that is for them and how quick of a turn they can make. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is with the 40s is that it can get someone noticed or unnoticed, I guess. If you run a really fast time and you were kind of, you know, middle round, you get noticed and all of a sudden people want to see more of you. And that's important for them. And for Joe Hayden, he's, like I said, people are going to go back and watch his tape now, and they're going to be wondering whether or not if he's as fast as they thought he was, or if this was just a bad 40, but on tape he's still faster than everybody else.
Right. As far as those drills go, though, I was actually, I don't know why, I can't defend myself for this, but I was actually watching some of them on the NFL Network when they were doing the linebacker drills, where they were doing exactly what Bob was talking about. It was just like, shuffle side to side, back pedal, run forward, open your hips, turn different directions, that kind of stuff. And, like, I'd say 1 in 4 linebackers fell over, like, in one of the drills I was watching. And which I attribute to just, literally, they're putting so much pressure on themselves to move faster than they can physically move,
right,
that they're just falling over. And it's like, I'd rather watch the guy do the same things on film. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't, you're not going to get anything out of that one time that, like, should override the film. The funniest thing to me is listening to people evaluate, is it Bruce Campbell from Maryland, the offensive tackle, who is apparently an athletic freak. Like, he's over 300 pounds, and he just impressed everyone. Like, he did everything great. All the, you know, shuffle drills, all the 40 times were awesome for him. And, like, they're all like, oh, he's moving up. But what's really concerning is that this just doesn't really match up with what we saw from him at Maryland. It's like, okay, so the kid had a whole college career where he wasn't that good, and now you find out he's an athlete. It's like, I don't know. If he slides into the first round and busts, it's like, shame on you. You know, like, I don't understand the big fuss that's being made if it doesn't match up with anything he's shown that he can do on a field.
It's a Darius Hayward-Bay situation where he's like, well, God, he ran a great 40. It's like, he was a mediocre receiver, I'd argue, but then he comes out and he's a mediocre receiver.
So this is even worse from the way they're talking about him.
Really?
Like, well, I mean, it wouldn't be worse if he got picked 7th or whatever, well, Darius Hayward-Bay got. But as far as, like, his college career, it seems like he was worse in college than.
But people are starting to say, is he, did he put himself in the top 10 or the 40? And, I mean, it's not really defensive. It's a disgrace that someone who wasn't good in college could go into the top 10. But this is a very weak class for offensive tackles.
That's true.
My boy from Rutgers, Anthony Davis, is kind of regarded right now as the top offensive tackle. And everyone was saying that he needs another year. He's not ready to come out. But he's the best offensive tackle there is right now. And it's a guy who needs one more year. So if Bruce Campbell, who apparently needs a whole new college career.
Four more years.
It could be the top pick now, is kind of what's saying how weak of an offensive tackle class this is.
True.
Is where they're willing to take on a project just because there's not too many people NFL ready.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, no, I love the combine, but I hate it because pretty much because of the Oakland Raiders. Where, like,
Thanks, Al Davis.
4.2? Draft him. Draft him first round, but he sucks. Doesn't matter. He can run fast. We can draft him, and he'll run past everybody. And I mean, it's just dumb. The big thing with the offensive tackle is I don't care what you're running on a 40.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you see an offensive lineman run downfield besides the times where he gets to celebrate a long touchdown with someone else? I mean, you never see it. You see them running 5-10 yards at most. Usually they're right away, they hit somebody and they're going with them. The only people that you really need to see run, and that's about 5 yards, is guards mostly, who's going to do more pulling than anyone else. But no one's really running at, like, going full speed at anyone from the offensive line. So I could care less if he runs a 4-2. If he ran a 4-2, I would say switch positions, maybe play him at, you know, some tight end. That'd be fun, but it doesn't matter. Like, for offensive linemen, who cares how fast you are? Mm-hmm. There's so many other things I want to see from an offensive lineman that does not include how fast you can run a 40.
We just think about the combine, and we can all relate to this as college students. We can not pay attention in a class all semester, cram real hard for one test, do well. That doesn't mean we're good students. These guys can go train their butts off, run a real fast 40. That doesn't mean they're good athletes. That means they ran a good 40. It has nothing to do with their career.
Well, Ryan, it's like the flip side of that, too, because you can be a really good student in class and maybe not do well on an exam.
You put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, and it's just like probably a lot of guys were saying that they thought – somebody else said that they thought Hayden rehearsed his 40. Like, he worked on it too much, worked on getting his speed too much to the point that it wasn't – however natural, I mean, running's pretty natural, but they thought that his stance wasn't very good, that the knowledge that he got didn't help him, so he ended up running slower at the combine.
That makes things worse, because his dad's his trainer, I'm pretty sure, so, like, it's pretty much his dad's fault that he ran a slow 40 at this point.
But so, it's not Joe Hayden's that.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
He kind of looked slow at the start, but I think you mentioned Ryan Stamper. He's a guy that I don't want to see work out. I really hope Pro Day he doesn't do anything except talk to coaches, do some linebacker drills, because I can't see him running a good 40. I can't see him doing too many things really well. But on tape, he's a guy that's really good. He's a great football player. And he's just gonna hurt himself if he runs at Pro Day. And I'm with them. I was very upset that he didn't get invited to the combine, especially when you see what some other people do and other names there. You're like, well, he's definitely better than these guys, but he's just not gonna get the chance. Luckily, Tebow's gonna have flocks of people. That's an important thing. That Spikes and Tebow are gonna bring crowds of coaches. That way, even though he didn't get to impress all the coaches at the combine, there's going to be a lot of scouts at Pro Day. So he'll have his chance there to at least meet a good amount of coaches. And you only need one team. And that's what it comes down to, one team that likes you. Mm-hmm. I see him very similar. I don't know why I didn't make this connection before, especially as a Giants fan, that he's very similar to Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce did not get drafted. Middle linebacker for the former middle linebacker for the Giants. He was released, but he's a very good pro. Was good in college, but he's kind of small, undersized. I guess he wasn't a very fast player, and went undrafted, caught on, and ended up being doing really well. And I hope that's what ended up happening with Stamper.
All right, any other guys worth talking about? Cooper, Pouncey, we get to them.
I guess Cooper. People have been impressed with Cooper since the Sugar Bowl.
Both those guys have been, like, moving up from everything I've heard. Pouncey supposedly looked really good and all his workouts looked fluid and all that crap. So, good for him. He can, like, struffle side to side and run up and down through cones better than all the other guards that are there, from my understanding. And Cooper is combining his size with speed from everything I've read. So,
he's got all the
both
tools.
Those guys have been looking good.
Major Wright, he did better than most people thought, which is helpful because everyone was kind of like, why did he leave? Why is he going out? It seems kind of early. But, you know, he helped himself, and as long as he keeps doing that, because safety's very deep this year. There's a lot of good safeties, especially towards the top. But he can impress. One person that I guess at his position that wasn't that impressive or that coaches are really worried about is Myron Rolfe from FSU. If you remember him, he took a year off of playing football because he went over to Britain as a Rhodes Scholar, which is, if you don't know what a Rhodes Scholar is, it's very highly regarded. It's very difficult to get. Not very few get it. And coaches are worried that he's too smart and that because he decided to take a year off to get a better education and take this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that he's not dedicated to football. And that's a concern for them, that this guy's not going to be dedicated to the team once he gets there. And he's going to be too worried about getting his doctor's degree, despite the fact that, you know, at FSU he's very good. And he did okay at the combine, didn't do great. But I just find it hilarious that, like, this guy who's clearly, you know, an a great, like, not only a great player, but a great human and very smart, which is something I don't think you get too often at the NFL Combine, is being has concerns because of how smart he is. And it's just ridiculous. I hope Myron Rowe does great in the NFL and then becomes a doctor later in life and then somehow finds something that the NFL is screwing up and sues them for millions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Myron Rowe, and as Bob was saying, I believe there's 30 Rhodes Scholars from the entire country, and they go over and they do some work at Oxford and stuff.
And we took up four of those spots. So it's really hard for Myron to get one.
He's wrapping up, I think he had an entire year over at Oxford. But the other thing that I kind of love coming out of the Combine occasionally, I tried to really stay away from media coverage because it's really just so annoying. It's like recruiting to me. I really can't stand it. But the one thing that I do enjoy coming out is the crazy interview questions that some teams ask players. And Myron Rowe reminded me of this because there was a report that someone from the Bucks organization asked Myron Rowe how he felt about abandoning his FSU teammates to go study at Oxford. Like how he could look himself in the mirror after abandoning his team and going over to Oxford.
Hey, Tampa Bay officials, how can you look at yourselves in the mirror? Well, your team sucks.
Supposedly it's not somebody else walked out of an interview. It was on PTI.
Wow, I didn't even hear that.
Somebody was talking about it. Crap. I can't remember what the question was. See if you can find it, Phil. Okay. And they were saying, like, it's not about – it was Lebatard and Wilbon we're talking about it, so maybe that'll help you. But it's, like, not about the question. It's about how they react to the question. Yeah. So they're literally just trying to piss them off, right. Like, from what I understand, which is outrageous. But, yeah. Like, that's the process. They want to get in there and, like, rattle them and then see how they react. So the kid who walked out probably didn't react very well. But
not what you're looking for.
That, no, not at all. So, like, yeah, those questions, supposedly, they ask him some, like, really really ridiculous,
is it personal?
Borderline offensive
okay.
things.
So that's what I was going to say. Right. It's all personal stuff.
Yeah, one take I heard on this, which I could kind of see, is that they ask enough questions that they cut through all the crap. Because, you know, everybody's, you know, if you're a top player, you've probably been told by an agent or some kind of representative what you should say, what kind of stuff. So they want to get questions that you couldn't possibly have rehearsed, you know, like something like how are you defector or something personal, like something to rile you up, and then they can ask and really see what you're like, and it's not necessarily those type of questions. Huh. And then I know that I did heard Todd McShay, for whatever we want to take him for, said that...
Not a fool, certainly.
That Carlos Dunlap really was unimpressive in interviews with teams, which is kind of one area that he needed to do well in, I thought. But
I mean, what do they mean, unimpressive? Because we've heard he's a shy guy, haven't we?
Right. In the fact that, like, because teams asked about, you know, his work ethic and, you know, probably the DUI arrest, and they weren't very happy with whatever the man said.
Carlos, are you an alcoholic? Carlos, are you an alcoholic? Like, no, like, of course he's going to get a little nervous.
You can be impressive in that, like, you care about football. Like, they came away unimpressed with his desire for football.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Myron Rowe thing, but totally different. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just hope Myron Rowe, responded with, like, do you ask this question to all of the, like, juniors who leave early?
No.
Because
right.
You should. Because it's the same situation, except, you know, he's bettering himself in a different way than, you know, getting paid millions of dollars. It's just ridiculous that, like, anyone would... I mean, I understand why you're asking the questions, but it doesn't make it any better that you're asking those type of questions.
All right, we're going to move on, talk about some Florida basketball, so we're moving into the tragic portion of the show. Florida...
Bum, bum, bum.
Nice. Florida went 0-2 the last week, dropped a game on the road at Georgia, 78-76.
That's a quality loss right there.
Absolutely.
They're looking at the resume, like, all right, well, we can forgive that one.
You got Syracuse, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Georgia.
Yeah. You can just throw those out.
And South Alabama, yeah. Yeah, on a fantastic last sequence that I guess we can talk about a little bit. Chandler Parsons was going nuts that game, scored 29 points, career high. Kenny Boynton, likewise, scored 22 points on 6 of 9 three-point shooting, just to make me look like a clown for saying he would make less than 20% of his threes for the rest of the year.
Oh, he still will.
He got you back.
We'll get to that later. But then Florida comes out, has the last play design, run Chandler Parsons off two screens that weren't set, thanks to Dan Warner and Vernon Macklin.
Good.
Parsons gets...
He was doing the little things.
Yeah, he was doing the little things, like not setting screens.
Sounds like tying his shoes, or like wiping sweat off the floor.
And Chandler Parsons gets a double team. Forced to pass the ball to a wide open Dan Warner.
Dan will know what happened from there.
And then magic happened. Dan Warner had a Georgia defender running at him, leaving a wide-open Vernon Macklin under the hoop. Dan Warner, of course, made the unselfish pass to Vernon Macklin.
With about half a second left.
About, I believe there are 1.2 seconds left when the ball left his hands. I went back and hit pause. But, of course, the Georgia defender was able to get his arms up and bat the ball out of bounds because Warner hesitated for so long instead of taking a wide-open shot that he thought he'd try to get the ball into Macklin. And, of course, it was batted out of bounds with 0.1 seconds left. Nothing happened from there. Florida wasted a perfectly good opportunity at the end of the game and fell to Georgia 78-76.
I'm somewhat upset that they were able to bat the ball out of bounds because I'm still positive that even if that pass gets through and Vernon Macklin gets it, he's not getting that shot off in time. And all that gave Billy Donovan was an excuse to say, like, had that pass gone through, you would have been saying how great of a play that was by Dan Warner. But I don't think he gets off, and I think it would have been a bad pass no matter what.
Also, the worst logic ever. It's like if Tim Tebow throws an interception, it's like, had that guy not intercepted that ball, we'd all be talking about how great Tim Tebow is. Like, what? What kind of crazy-ass logic is that? Had I not made that fact error in my story, we'd all be talking about how great of a story it was instead of how dumb Kyle is. Like, what? What kind of logic? In what other area of life can you say something like that and get away with it?
What other defense could you use?
It's all about the results. It's not what not the decision that went into the play. It was the... It's all about the result. The result of the play is the only thing that matters in the end. It doesn't matter if you make the dumbest throw ever, but it happens to get tipped 10 times and somehow gets into your receiver's hand and scores a touchdown. It's a great throw because you knew that was going to happen.
But you see, this is something that's new that's entered Billy's lexicon recently. I don't know if y'all remember going back to the NC State game. Chandler misses that shot. We're talking about how bad a game we played up there. Chandler Parsons misses that shot at South Carolina, talking about how bad a game it was. That's just what he's been doing. Like, Dan Warner doesn't bat that ball down the court.
Those are kind of understandable because, like, shooting's kind of fickle. Like, I sort of get what he's saying there. It's like, you can miss a shot real easily. But, like, in that scenario, like, there's nothing, like, there were no outside variables. Or, like, it wasn't, like, a play that you make half the time and half the time it goes the other way. It's like, he did something retarded and then, like, something bad happened.
Yeah.
Like, 100 times out of 100, he needs to shoot that ball.
Right.
It wasn't it could go either way type play, which is what Billy tried to turn it into.
Right. I'm saying Billy's alternate reality thing where he tries to
pose, like that a lot.
Imagine this. Right. Like,
he loves what ifs.
He's a big
sometimes
what
I'll let him whisk me away, though. But
yeah.
I get swept away,
but especially at NC State. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, what if he did miss that shot? What are we talking about now? But, yeah, still either way, it's a disappointing loss. Florida got down twice by 15 at Georgia, which just can't happen. Georgia's the worst team in the SEC East. You can't have that on the road, especially when their season was pretty much on the line. Like, you win that game, you can afford to lose to Vanderbilt. You can probably afford to lose Kentucky so long as you don't embarrass yourself in the SEC tournament and still have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. But they went out, screwed the pooch, put a little more pressure on themselves.
Just like they did last year.
Yep, yep, because they lost at Georgia. Really? You were there for that one last year, right, at Georgia, down the stretch.
I was in that House of Horrors in the Stegman Coliseum.
That really is a House of Horrors. Like, they call the O'Connell Center one. It's a rough arena. But then they put more pressure on themselves to come out, try to beat Vanderbilt on Tuesday night. Everybody said it was a must win. For once, nobody was afraid to say, guys, this is a must win. Dan Warner called it a must win. Dan Warner didn't say anything.
Well, Dan Warner's not allowed to talk anymore.
Right. Well, he was this time because it was a senior night. He called it a must win. Anna Parsons called it a must win. Kenny Boynton did. You name it. Vernon Macklin, they lost. Of course. In a must win game, what else do you do but come out slow, come out uninspired? Phil, you were there with me. You got some thoughts on the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, I mean, I really can't stand the must-win thing because then all it leads to is after the game asking, what happens now because
exactly.
You didn't win? Are you going to go die? Is your season over? Like,
I didn't think you were going
to
take that.
I stick to it. Every game is a must-win. Like, you can't be like, all right, we can lose this one. Don't worry about this one. Well,
it's
next one's
March.
A must-win.
Like,
every game's a
must-win. It's like it's only a story if it's like something random. It's like if in November somebody's a moron and says this is a must-win against Michigan State, then that's a story. It doesn't matter that they say it's a must. Of course it's a must-win. Like, nothing happens. Anyway, moving on from that.
But it's not really a must-win. That's
the
point. Like, no game – like. In very few scenarios is there actually a must-win. It's so overused. That term is just ridiculous. Yeah. Like, if they beat Kentucky, they're in, for sure.
Right.
Okay, so, like...
If they win the SEC tournament,
they're in.
Of course they're in.
If they reel off two or three wins of that, you know, like, there's just... Nothing happens in a vacuum, like we keep saying.
Yeah.
Also, the bubble, much like the Ukraine, is weak this year.
Very weak.
Ukraine is weak!
So, I didn't think Florida would, you know, crap the bed down the stretch here, but I still think they're okay. Like, I don't think, like, they're a lock, like, for sure, nothing bad can happen, because if they lose to Kentucky and then lose their first SEC tournament game, I think they're out. But if they lose to Kentucky and then win a game or two in the SEC tournament, I still think they get in.
I put the magic number at 2, even with if they win at Kentucky. I know I'm going to be kind of not agreed with there, but I think if they win at Kentucky...
No, you're so wrong. Okay. Like, I can't even get on board with that.
That's fine.
If they beat Kentucky...
And they lose in the first round, to it's going to be a really crappy team.
10 conference wins and they will have beaten Kentucky.
Fine. Yeah.
And I don't believe it would happen.
On top of the Michigan State and the FSU wins. The thing,
I hope it happens. I hope they beat Kentucky and lose in the first round, and then we'll see, Kegler.
I mean, the thing is, they're going to be playing a team like Alabama, and that's going to hurt their, you know, obviously that's not a quality loss. Unlike that Georgia loss, that's really a bad loss when you lose to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, as the bracket's sizing up, as we said, they're going to play probably Alabama or Auburn in the first round. They win there, they'll play Mississippi State, two very winnable games, though. I mean, but then again, they lose a lot of winnable games.
You know what else is a winnable game? South Alabama.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I mean, Georgia. Exactly. It's just amazing. Like, I was kind of thinking, I was like, they really haven't gotten blown out this year, and they haven't done too much. Like, besides the early games, they haven't blown out people either. No. And they really just play to a level of talent, it seems. Because even Syracuse was, I think, the biggest they've lost to is 12. And in those games, it was like Syracuse, Kentucky, and I think Xavier as well, they ended up losing. But some point towards the end, they were in the game. They had a chance to grab the lead. They're always in the game. But they always, against Georgia, they lost to Georgia.
Right.
And even in the first meeting against Georgia, they were in those teams were in the game. They have to put those teams away early. And it just amazes me that they clearly have the potential to play with Tennessee. They beat Tennessee, to play with Vanderbilt, to play with Kentucky, like they did the first time. But then they can lose these easy games. I question the motivation behind it. Why can't this team get motivated for these small games?
I don't think it's a motivation thing. I just think they're not good offensively. So, like, defense keeps you in the game, but you open up, you pull away with offense, they just can't score when they need to, and that, I think, is a problem. They can't ever separate themselves. They seem to have, like, one run per game in them. Like, we've seen a lot of times they fall behind. They'll take the lead for, like, 2 minutes, mm-hmm. like, late in the second half, and then they can't score again, like, for the rest of the game.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's like, Kenny Boyd and Irvin Walker, they can't go 3-for-23 or whatever they were this last game. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
And that's going to really kill you. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and you look at the difference between the Tennessee game and, like, the Vanderbilt game was those 4 threes back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back or whatever. It's like, that's not going to happen to them every game. And if they could, then they'd probably be beating teams a little bit better. Or, you know, they might be beating teams, period.
Think about it. That's exactly how they blew that game open.
Yeah.
I mean, you play defense to that point, and then you just get hot and open up the game. Exactly. So, but they can't ever seem to do that.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's why I wrote my comment today. Is just there's been several occasions this season where they're in games that they could win / should win, and they just go 6 minutes without scoring. Like, it's like those type of breakdowns are, like, really, really bad. There's one thing I wanted to bring up that I don't know. I haven't heard anybody else say this, and when I saw the replay,
breaking
it kind of changed my mind a little bit. No, not breaking. Just I wanted to see people's thoughts on this. So Florida was down 2 with 17 seconds left. They had the ball out of bounds. Chandler Parsons drives to the bucket, kicks out to Kenny Boynton.
Right.
When I saw it, me and Adam were obviously seated well on the opposite baseline, so very hard to see. I mean, obviously, we're all going to accept that Kenny Boynton was open. I'm not doubting that at all. But when I went back and saw it on ESPN and so watched the replay a couple times, and after talking to Chandler after the game, he said obviously he wanted to dump it to Vern around the block, but the Vandy defender slid down, played good help defense. Kenny was wide open. Now, Kenny was 2-for-14 before then. He's shooting 25% or so on the season. And when I look at the replay, I think Chandler Parsons should have shot the ball. Because he's got not that bad of a shot driving the lane. Yes, the help defender came and tried to seal him off. He could have pulled up, had a short little jumper that I believe is a better percentage shot. Even with Chandler mildly struggling this game, with him playing the whole season versus a wide-open Kenny Boynton 3.
Huh.
That's my little piece there. I honestly know that that's hard to see if you haven't seen the same replay I saw. But because I was like, oh, yeah, like at the game, I was totally cool with kicking it out. Like, because it looked in real time, it's really hard to tell that. I was like, oh, somebody slid over. Chandler kicked it out. When I went back and looked at the replay, he had a nice little, could have banked off the glass a little bit. And you figure, you know, the Vandy guy's going to fight with Vern to block him out to get the rebound. Personally, I mean, these are very split second decisions. It's not a, you know, I'm not harping on Chandler for kicking it out, but I think he should have shot the ball.
Plus, if there's one guy you want to take a shot in the last seconds in your Florida, it's Chandler Parsons.
Well, right. And Kenny Boynton's been really bad.
Right.
I mean, somebody made the point after the game, which was a good point, is that if it's Georgia, it's different at least. Because Kenny's struggled all season, but at least he's been really hot during the Georgia game.
Right.
He's seemingly not very hot at all during this game.
You're pretty much making the jump then that Chandler's the type of player where he's just going to get his shot, and no matter what, we want him taking the shot. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, the right basketball play there is to pass the ball, and that's what he did. Yeah. And he should have done it. Both times that he passed the ball at the end of the game, that was the right basketball play.
Right.
And, like, I don't think anyone on the team, including Chandler, regardless, like, he's been great, is at the level where when it's they're taking time out and there's 15 seconds left, Billy Dee's saying, you have to shoot this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just you shoot it. Do whatever you got to do, and you shoot it. And very few guys are like that anywhere in the country and at the pro level. I mean, like, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, like, those are the kind of guys where you say shoot it no matter what. But, I mean, there just so few guys are in that category where just you're going to have the mindset where it's the ball's leaving your hand. Right. I feel like if you're telling them all week and in the huddle and for years, for the 3 years that he's been here, that, hey, we're going to make the best basketball play every single time, that was the best basketball play.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Kenny Borden struggled this season. He was shooting awful last night. But in the end, I mean, somewhere deep down, Kenny Borden is a good shooter. Like, he was a great shooter for all his life. He still has a shot. I mean, I think you still feel good about Kenny Borden having a wide open three with the game on the line. I don't care if he is having a bad night. He's still, like, he can still shoot.
Here's my thing. No one's so much better than anyone else on that court that degree of difficulty 8 on a scale is better than a degree of difficulty 2 shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, the difference between Chandler Parsons and Kenny Boynton has been huge in production this year, but in just ability to make any one shot, I feel like I'd rather have Kenny Boynton take a wide, literally wide open shot that he can definitely make. There's no way anyone can make that shot. So I'd rather him take...
Maybe not Damar.
Tim take the wide open, you know, 2 on the scale of 1 to 10, then Chandler Parsons force up an 8 based on the difference between them.
Yeah,
so
I'd completely agree with that.
But when it's Dwayne Wade and Chris Quinn, then I'd rather Dwayne Wade throw up an 11 than pass it to Chris Quinn for a layup. So,
right. And Billy's telling Chandler to go in there and create, not go in there and take a shot. And if Chandler's thinking, well, create. Like, I got a wide-open teammate, I should get the ball to him. And a guy who went the other night 6-9. Like, you know, you try not to focus on how you're shooting that night. You got to have the confidence that I'm going to shoot and I'm going to make it. You try to have that confidence in your teammates.
Right.
Too.
My quick rebuttal would be that after going back and look at it, I don't think it was a degree of difficulty 8, is my point.
All right. Well, I don't know what it was.
Right. No, I mean, I know you're just throwing out a number, but, like, obviously it's not a wide open shot, but I think the look was better than people think, is my point. Like, I'm not debating the Georgia game at all. Like, I'm totally in favor of Chandler. Like, there's no way Chandler could have shot the ball in Georgia game. Like, I can't stand that.
No, he was, like,
trapped
out by the 3-point line.
Yeah, I'm not getting behind that at all, but. Well, I mean, that was just my 2 cents.
Yeah, but there's a balance between, like, if that's not the last second of the game, there's no way you're going to tell me you think Chandler Parsons should shoot that. Like, if that play would have happened at the end of the first half, you would have been like, good, wide open 3
correct.
For Kenny Boynton. So, like, LeBron took a lot of criticism for this early in his career, where it's like, LeBron would go, there'd be 10 seconds left, the defense would collapse on him, he'd kick it out to Damon Jones, and Damon Jones would throw it over the backboard. And then everyone was like, what the heck are you doing? You're supposed to take the shot, you know? And there was, like, a balance there, and then eventually LeBron grew into it where he's like, I'm LeBron James, and I'm just going to dunk on 2 people at the end of the game instead of kicking it to wide open Damon Jones. But, like, I just don't think we've gotten to that point, and I think you reach a dangerous balance with these kids in college and based on their actual ability level if Billy Dee ever reaches a point where he's like, Chandler, you got to take it no matter what. Because then you're creating a situation where he's comfortable making the best basketball play, but is he comfortable weighing, like, crap, I got to be the guy? Like, I don't know. I don't feel like that's a good place to put your guy in. So.
While we're talking about Parsons, though, I'm going to go away from my usual way of speaking about him and say he was horrible against Vanderbilt. 4 shots, made 1, 3 points.
I can see how much this is hurting Barry to say this. Every week we have a love note from Barry to Chandler. And
it doesn't run in the paper. I just write it and put it in a drawer somewhere.
He gives it to me. At when Chandler goes away for the NCAA, or I guess maybe the NCAA tournament. That was the plan. So when he goes away, we were going to send him the love notes. That way he has something to read while on the road.
You're taking this too far, Bob.
But he may be staying home.
Oh, yeah. 2,500 people in the O'Connell Center.
The most remarkable thing to me about Chandler getting shut down besides the fact that I just, I mean, would it take three shots? Four shots, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's way too low.
To
I do agree.
Vernon Macklin shooting 17 and Kenny Boyne shooting 15.
17?
Is that Chandler and Billy after the game were like, yeah, we knew that they were going to come out and take away Chandler Parsons. Okay, I mean, obviously, like, you can see on film that Vanderbilt might try some things. Aren't you going to have any type of workaround?
No.
Like, they were basically like...
We knew they were going to do it.
Yeah, we know
we didn't we didn't care.
No, it's like, okay, we're just going to let Chandler not be a factor. Okay, thanks. Like, cool.
Right.
Like, and then the question to Chandler was kind of like, so, like, what do you do now? Like, because you know teams are going to do this. And
okay.
His answer was just basically get other people involved, yeah. Which obviously is all you can do if they throw two men at you. But, like, when you see this coming up to the game... And you're like, oh, they're going to take away Chandler. Do you got to try something else different?
Yeah, but you know whose responsibility it is to
it's
get
Billy.
Him shot? No, no. Oh. Well, I mean, it might be Billy, okay. But it's Urban. The other guys yeah. on the court.
That's true.
Because what's happening is they're respecting his ability to, you know, create one-on-one, put the ball on the floor, take it to the rim, like, do a variety of different things for himself.
Right.
But, I mean, think about where all the shots went. They went to... Kenny Boynton, they went to Vernon Macklin, and with the exception of like when Kenny's playing the point guard position where
right.
I'm sure he's encouraged heavily to pass the ball, those guys aren't guys that are like getting other people's shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vernon Macklin's certainly not, and then Kenny to a lesser degree than I'd say Chandler or Verrett, the other
sure.
two guys who handle the ball. So I just feel like when a defense is really trying hard to take away one guy, it's going to be other people's responsibility to get him open, and they can't do that. Like I said last time, it's like player X takes ball, does what he can with it, and then they get back on defense. Like, there's never, like, I don't know, very rarely is there an extra pass made, and very rarely is there somebody creating for someone who's not Irv or Chandler. So.
Right. Well, Walker took 9 shots. Walker's taking 5 more shots than Chandler. Who's the higher percentage shooter? Parsons. Like, who's
yeah.
been hot lately? Parsons. You get the ball to him. You know who took more shots than Chandler Parsons?
Dan
Werner took 2 more shots, and he made 2 more shots than Chandler Parsons did.
And Billy's got to be creative with how he uses him, too.
Right.
It's like, you got to put him in different spots on the floor. You got to do different things. Run him off screens, flash him high against the zone. Like, just do different stuff with him. But, like, I don't know. There's got to be a way. There's more than one way to do this. And I feel like Billy kind of, at times, gets stubborn. Like, we're just going to run our system no matter what.
Yep.
And the system's not dependent on one guy, so it'll work or it won't.
Right.
Well, just one time, I want them to have someone in the game that can make the free throw line jump shot. Stop giving the ball to Dan Werner at the high post if he's either not going to shoot it or, like, makes one of, you know, the 5 that he shot. Like, put someone there that can make that shot, or else defenses are doing exactly what they're doing. They're just not playing him.
Right.
Although the one thing that it seemed, at least on TV, it looked like, Dan Werner seemed a little bit more decisive than he had been in, like, the last few games.
Well, yeah,
because like,
in the last game he made
non-decision. Yeah, but, like, instead of, like, just standing there with the ball and clearly
right.
having no intention to shoot, like, he at least was willing to take the shot, and they didn't look as ugly as they have been in the rest of the conference play. But, which, I mean, I guess maybe that's good for him is that he has, a little bit of confidence left, and maybe he's going to use some of it, but, like...
Danny got his groove
like,
back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, they've got nobody else. They really do, unfortunately. He's got to play. And if he's playing, he's got to shoot.
I agree that he was better, but it's, like, the two evils. It's, like, he's a little bit better than he was being really bad before.
How
like,
many minutes did Shipman get?
6. You know how many he played in the first half?
Yeah.
5.
Yeah, shot one.
You know when
he
was at the best? At the end of the first half. You know how many minutes he played after that?
Barry's
1.
Upset about this if you
played
1.
And Billy's going to come out and complain about the fact that his guards are tied because he didn't have anybody back there. You know who you have back there, Billy? Ray Shipman, who comes in and provides energy off the bench. Then you don't play him in the second half.
Yeah,
you deserve what you get, Billy.
Yeah,
like, when you don't play him.
Shipman played really well when he was in there.
He's too offensive
5 minutes in the first half.
Yeah.
Did you see the shot he took at the end of the first half? You don't want Ray Shipman taking that shot. That's way too offensive minded for me.
You mean
get
the
out
corner
of the game.
3 he nailed? That
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that one. He shouldn't have been taking that shot. Clearly didn't have it.
Or the
I don't
long
care
jumper he nailed before that one?
Nope, doesn't matter.
By the time he got to the lane and kicked it open to a wide-open guy in the corner, and both Phil and I go, wow, nice pass. Look, Ray Shipman can drive.
I called it one of Ray Shipman's top 10 plays of the year.
Yeah.
On that
it was one of his only plays of
yeah.
the year. Right?
Yeah, that's
it.
Narrowly edging out a personal foul
yeah.
in the first half of the Georgia game or something.
A steal and a miss.
Yeah.
Or something. A fast break, like, gets fouled, misses 2 free throws. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I'm tired of hearing Billy complain about the fact that he has no guard, like, no depth in the backcourt. It's like, you know what you do? Like, you have limited depth, obviously. You have Ray Shipman, that's it. You don't even use that.
This is all a great ploy to get Brandon Knight to,
right,
to
like,
commit.
Brandon.
We have no guards.
Brandon, so Knight. Much playing time.
No guards. Ray Shipman, stay on the bench. Stay on the bench.
And with
we'll
the
use
way,
you eventually. Don't worry.
Like, I know early in the season there's been some times when Kenny Boynton has been kind of turnover prone, but like last night he did a pretty serviceable job running the point.
Right.
You have that, and then you can run Parsons that. So take Walker out of the game a little bit. Like, 34 minutes, just, can we get that down to 30?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's shooting, in the last six games, he's shooting 24% from the field.
Mm.
And if you take out his 5-for-10 showing against Tennessee, and so in five of his last six games, he's shooting 18% from the field.
Jesus.
And, like, he's still shooting 8 or 9 shots typically a game. Like, I mean, I understand maybe he's tired, maybe, I know he's streaky, whatever, but,
right,
like, you just got to back it down. Like, either he's got to take less shots, get him less minutes, do something. But, like, this backcourt playing this bad is not going to go well for Florida in March.
Right.
But they're fast.
Someone's got to ask.
So
real,
fast.
The fastest 40-yard dash backcourt ever.
I assume someone has, but has anyone asked about fatigue factor for...
Oh, yeah.
No, they're fine.
Says
they're
that
fine.
He's a young man, and he
can
handle
it. Yeah,
Irv
says anything. The same thing. Irv goes, we just young kids out here. Like, we're doing fine. I'm like, Irv, I'm a year older than you, and I get tired a lot easier than you. I know you're in great shape, Irv, but you're not Superman.
Yeah, so
you
either,
can't go 38 feet in the air.
Irv,
you can't
let
that
us say
out.
You're tired, or your shot has mistakenly left the
right.
town. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, here's my thing, though. All right, I think I believe him in that I don't think one game has anything to do with the next physically. It does mentally.
Right.
When you have to play 35 minutes every night and you have to be good because there's nobody else who can do anything, mentally that's really hard. And I think in any one game playing 35 minutes is physically tiring.
No, yeah.
What I don't buy is that, like, physically the minutes just pile on each other at this point in their career.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're 35 and
yeah.
you're Kevin Garnett, you can't jump anymore because you have no more knees, but not when you're 20 years old. But mentally, I think they're tired because they have to constantly be mm-hmm. in the right frame of mind and making the right decisions. And I think that in any one game, when you're pressing and you're doing things, you're playing 35 minutes, that is tiring.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it carries over from game. Like, they're not still tired from playing a bunch of minutes in November. Like,
right,
that means
right.
nothing right now.
Right,
like,
right.
they have time off between games to rest for that. But in a game, like, crunch time, and Kenny Boynton's taking a wide-open three, maybe he doesn't have his legs under him anymore because
right.
he played 34 minutes.
I agree.
So.
One thing I couldn't stand about that game, I realized that one three-point
oh,
shooter.
Oh, Jesus.
He shoots 45. I know. They probably have other guys that are pretty good. John Jenkins shoots 45% from the three-point line, and they allow him to get 9 pretty good looks. There was one or two contested. There was one blocked, I know for sure, so that was good defense. He shot 6 for 9. That, like,
I mean,
down the stretch, it was so huge. Go ahead.
That's the problem, that they can't man up with anyone, though.
Right.
Like, if they can play man defense, he can't really get those looks. But if you're going to play zone because you can't ever – you have no depth, then I don't know. That's kind of what's going to happen.
A couple of those, maybe 2 or 3, we notice this where there would be loose ball situations, and Florida would have, like, 2 guys dive on the floor. So
right.
Vanderbilt's
well,
playing 5-on-3,
right.
and John Jenkins is wide open. You know,
right.
you scoop the ball out of the pile to him. He's standing there, can dust off the ball, take his time, spin it a couple times, shoot it, and make it. Like, I could have made that shot if you give me that much
it's
time.
It's a very good
right.
design play.
Maybe.
Put the ball on the floor, dive after it. John will be wide open in the corner. Just kick it to him every time. Great play.
I don't know. I thought
Kevin Stallings
several,
is creative.
Though, like, just blow
no, yeah. But
all,
I'm
like,
saying there were at least two.
Over there.
Yeah, there were 2 or 3 of those
yeah,
loose balls.
Yeah.
And then 4, just like Vanderbilt moves the ball. Florida zone can't keep up. They
right,
can't play man, obviously. Good ball movement.
Right, yeah. No, like, loose balls or often the rebounds are sometimes you're going to get your best shot off
right.
of those because everybody can't get back to
right.
playing.
And how many times, though, was I sitting there going, oh, hi, John Jenkins. Hey,
yeah.
hey look, John Jenkins.
It just got remarkable.
Right.
I mean, I know, obviously, they were trying to guard John Jenkins, but it just
it was like the Devin Downey. He's going to get his. Just let him take his shots. We'll shut down everybody
At the
else.
Same time, though, Vanderbilt scored, what, 29 in the second half? Is that right?
26.
So they did a really good job defensively yeah. in the second half. They just can't score points. Like, it's painful. Like, what was the run? 9:53? The last
9:53
seconds
yeah.
on a field goal?
Yeah.
You don't need
How
to score
does that happen?
At the end of
in the
game.
Last, what was it, 3:50-something?
Yeah,
went
they had
3:53.
One point
yeah.
in the last 3:20-30-something,
yeah.
I mean, you got,
right.
like, this
can't
sounds
win.
Really stupid and, like, obvious, but, like, you just gotta make some shots.
yeah.
Like, eventually, the ball has to go through the hoop.
Well,
Why can't you score?
That was my favorite Billy quote from after the game. He's like, we're executing on offense really well. We're just not putting the ball in the basket.
I mean, he didn't say it that concise. I mean, the result of the ball going in the basket is not happening.
Yeah. It is not where we would
yes.
prefer that it be.
That was
like, I thought we got phenomenal shots.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a little strong. I did think And I know, because I got slammed, because Kenny Boyd, I thought, was playing well, then I saw his stats, well, 2 for 15, as Kyle pointed out, which is a very good point.
I wasn't trying to slam you, but he was 2 for 15.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize it was quite that bad. But there was, like, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 of Boyd's shots. He was doing a better job than earlier in the season of driving and just seemingly not finishing around the rim at all.
Yeah, and a couple literally rolled out of the rim because he put that ridiculous spin on it.
He put one, and he missed it, and he got his own rebound, and he missed it again.
It was like he was back in high school. He was just going in there, getting his own rebound, putting it back up, and he just couldn't finish.
That was remarkable.
I mean, he didn't jack up a lot of threes by his standards.
Six? Yeah, like not like bad ones either. Like, there's one I remember being like, oh, that's a Kenny Boyd three. But then there wasn't that many of those, like, down the road. They were, like, decent looks.
There were a couple bad looks, I thought, by Irving Walker. He came in one of, I think it was the third to last shot of the game, maybe the second to last shot.
Pretty early in the
shot. He just came down, it was like 28 seconds left in the shot clock. He's like, I got this, jacks it up. And
yeah, like, wasn't a great shot either.
Yeah. So,
I'll defend him to just saying that, like, when you haven't scored for 7 minutes, like, you try to kind of, like, give yourself some confidence. Like, I'm putting this one in. You know, like, it wasn't a good shot. All right, well, it wasn't mid-rant, but I don't really remember where I was going with that. I accidentally got excited and dropped a curse word. Poor Adam had to edit that out for everyone. But the bottom line is, I'm sure he was just pressing at that point, although it wasn't a good shot. You guys made. I'm sorry.
I was just going to move. If we were done with that, I was going to move to the front court because Vernon Macklin did have 21-9. Tyus had 9 rebounds. Florida out-rebounded Vanderbilt, surprisingly.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was something where I thought, like, they were playing well enough there where they could have gotten the win. Ogilvy scored 16. It's better than the 24 he scored against them the last time. I thought Vernon Macklin played good enough. Tyus wasn't a waste of space like he was at Georgia. And it's just, you know, your three best scorers essentially can't come up and do anything.
I mean, right.
Vernon Macklin scores 21 points and you lose. Like,
right. That's one I kind of touched on this in the column, too. Is like, they're good in the fact that they can win a lot of different ways. Like, guys can have off nights and other guys step up, but you can't have Boyd and Walker and Parsons all play pretty crappy. Right. Like, you're not going to win.
Yeah,
it's like, when you only have 5 real players, you can't have 3 of them play bad, 1 play great, and 1 just, you know, do his average.
Well, I've said it before, they deserve to lose this game because the third leading scorer, Dan Werner. One guy had double-digit points.
Yeah, that's the biggest. That one guy had double-digit
points. Second time all year. You know when the other one was? Richmond.
Also, a crazy stat that I'm going to just steal from ESPN when I was watching Sports Center this morning. Florida had been 19-0 when at home and leading at any point under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not anymore. Also, they hadn't gotten swept by Vanderbilt.
Wait, say that again?
When at home and when they led at any point under 5 minutes, they'd won their last 19.
Huh.
So they close out well at home, typically.
What was the score of the South Alabama game, the final?
Oh, God.
Can you get that on your laptop?
Yeah, sure.
No, it's on here.
They weren't leading at the end there?
Final score was 66-67.
Didn't the kid make a last second?
The kid made a last second shot. Yeah, he made a tip in, but
wasn't
was it
technically a neutral site? Wasn't it a tournament?
Oh, if they count that, I'm gonna be outraged. if they count it because it was the Legends Classic,
I think it's technically a neutral site.
Was it the Legends Classic? Is that what it
But it says South Alabama. It doesn't say versus South Alabama or anything. But it was it. I swear to God, if that's why it doesn't.
Well,
count.
I debunked that in half a second. Enjoy SportsCenter, but. I don't know what they're counting.
I'm offended by that. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's why I credit my sources.
You didn't want to just break that stat out. I just did some research.
No fact error for me here.
The other thing where I was going with that is that Florida hadn't been swept by Vanderbilt since 1997.
Good stat. I like that stat.
That one's from the AP. I trust
Thanks,
that guy.
Mark Long.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show since it's a midweek edition with our weekly awards and our Gator guarantees. Ton of stuff coming your way from us. We're going to start off with our Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. We'll start off with our Kyles. Bobby?
My Kyle is going to go to... it's a very wide range. Anybody who thinks Tebow is going to be good in the NFL because of his 40-time invert jump. That means nothing, so if you think that's why he's going to be good, you're just a fool.
All right, simple to the point. Phil?
My Kyle's going to Brandon James. I guess I always relish an opportunity to hate on Brandon James. Doing nothing at the NFL Combine when he really needs to impress.
He benched,
I'm sorry, for only benching when he pretty much doesn't have a position and may very well go undrafted or very late in the draft.
Hmm. All right. You guys have been very concise with your awards. I'm going to go ahead and give mine to the men's basketball team here at Florida because, as I've said before, I don't want to cover an NIT game in front of 2,500 people in the O'Connell Center against Jacksonville. Florida, you're right on your way to doing that to me. If you keep this up, keep up this torrid pace of play you're at, you're probably going to lose to Kentucky by 15. And I wouldn't put dropping a game to Alabama or Auburn in the SEC tournament past them. Right back in the NIT. So for putting me through this emotional drama and this emotional roller coaster, I give the Florida basketball team my Kyle Jackson.
All right, my Kyle Jackson, I alluded to it before, it's going to the bubble. I'm so unimpressed with the teams that we're choosing through. It's like one redheaded stepchild after another. When Ole Miss is back in the conversation as the first four out, you know things are going horribly wrong. My team, Dayton, totally soiled itself during the last half of conference play.
Didn't you have them in the Final Four?
I still believe that.
Don't worry, they're still getting in.
They're a dangerous team, Bob.
Believe.
I really did that, huh? So anyway, that's my Kyle Jackson, the bubble. I'm very impressed. Hopefully enough teams steal bids where we don't have to watch a team like Ole Miss in the tournament.
Jeez. All right. Bob, Reggie?
Reggie? What did I say? My Reggie is going to go to the Rutgers media department, preferably the SID. The
media relations department, probably.
Sure. More specifically, the football sports information directors. They were in the top 11 voted on by the Football Writers Association. I love my Rutgers, and I'm glad that if I was attending that school and a sports writer there, they would have treated me very well, unlike some schools around Gainesville. Preferably the one that we get to.
Yeah, in case anybody's wondering, Florida, unsurprisingly, did not make that top 11 list. What? The only SEC school was Georgia.
Why'd they do 11?
I think because there's 11 players on the field.
That's cute.
It was called the Super 11,
I think.
Yeah, I believe it's the first year they did it. It was voted on by a panel of sports writers from around the country.
I still got some kinks to work out. It's top 10 list. Everything should be a top 10 list. All right, Phil, give out your Reggie.
My Reggie is going to the NFL for finally deciding to possibly, I mean, I'm sure it won't actually pass, but consider changing the rules for overtime. Of course, it should be half since they're only considering changing it for the playoffs, which is kind of ridiculous. Yeah, I know. It would ensure that if the first team, the team that won the coin toss, they can't kick a field goal and win. If they score a touchdown, they would win. But if they kick a field goal, the other team gets at least a possession. It's not, you know, it's something. You know, I'm so tired of somebody winning the coin toss, having a return for 40 yards, one penalty, their field goal range, 45-yard field goal. I saw nothing, and the game's over.
The big things that I'm pretty sure Roger Goodell said during the playoffs that there will not be any changes to the overtime. And the rules committee, you know, threw this sucker out there. So clearly people are unhappy. I mean, everyone knows that the fans are unhappy. But clearly someone in the committee is not happy, and they want that out there.
Can we just do college football playoff system? I'm always in favor of that. Or the college football overtime
system. Yeah, I would love a college football playoff
system. I'm also in favor of the playoff system, but the overtime system.
I don't know, what is the downside of the college football other than it might take a little while? I haven't heard like the negative side of that.
You admitted you're wrong. You're never wrong. Well, and the NFL is not wrong.
And everybody's like, oh, we want something different than the cup. Why? It works! This is ridiculous.
It's too much fun.
Yeah.
Too much fun for the fun league.
I remember it's no fun league. Which is kind of surprising that Phil likes a change to the no fun league since
I'm
no
all
fun
about
Phil.
It. Right. I did see Peter King kind of wrote about the overtime rules, and one side is saying that players don't want to play, and it'll be too much work. They're going to add on too many snaps to their game. They play like one overtime a game a year. That's the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard.
All right, well, that was fun. I complained about you guys being a little short-winded before. You pay me with that. I'll give out my Reggie. I'm contemplating giving it to Phil because Phil just broke one of his long-standing rules and showed us how great he got in the class. I didn't wrap my head around that because I was so blown away by what he did.
I was thrown off.
Right, but he actually showed us a grade, so I could give
was
it to
Was it good
you.
Or bad?
Oh, it was
good.
Incredible.
Okay.
Well, you could say it was perfect.
Also because I did it. I was so shocked in Roger's system that I could guess what – we have an editing professor who – actually likes to teach us wrong things sometimes, and Adam and I get really frustrated.
I heard the team R.
Yeah, the team R. So when I went in and took my midterm editing exam yesterday, I figured that I would undoubtedly lose points because I didn't know how to answer wrong things correctly, but I figured it out.
Right,
so.
I wasn't thinking in British soccer terms when I went in there, like, oh, the team R. Like, no, team is. That's the way to teach young editors.
You messed up. You should take it in the fall. You get Norm. Norm Lewis is possibly the greatest professor at UF.
Well, you know what that moment just confirmed? Phil's done crappy on everything else for his entire college career.
Yeah, if he was doing good,
obviously
he'd
show us. Yeah,
I actually, I had to bribe someone to get into UF.
Right. Obviously.
I figured, yeah.
We're letting anybody in that honors college these days.
All right, I'll give out my actual Reggie then to spring break. It's upon us. It's nigh. Mine actually started today. My last class ended at 9 o'clock this morning. I could not need spring break anymore right now. I find myself getting just very short with people. I need to get out of here.
Your spring break is just going to be work.
Right.
Mine is going to be laying in bed, catching up, trying to refocus myself for the last month and a half because I have an awful case of senioritis. I'm ready for school to be over with, to be unemployed. I'm excited.
Bring on unemployment.
Yeah, no, it'll be more of me laying in bed.
A regular check.
My mom yelling at me probably. It'll be fun. But no, I just need to, I'm going to my classes. And for someone who's going to his classes, I'm the worst student possible. Right. For example, yesterday I sat in my class and watched people run the 40 instead of actually listening to the teachers. And I just find new ways of not paying attention at all.
I will point out that the class that Bobby and I have together Tuesday afternoon, he was not at.
Which was the first time I've missed.
Just debunking the untrue facts here on the show.
No one's ever skipped class. Shame on you, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, for me, spring break is going to Kentucky with Kyle and friends this weekend, and then going to Nashville with myself and Phil.
Hopefully, you left out the word friend in that one.
Next
it'll be
weekend.
A much Tanner Phil, as I'll be on a cruise this weekend.
Hopefully, for my sake, Phil. That's the one thing I've been hoping for out of this Nashville trip. I can't stand to see your pasty self going to Nashville with me. All right? You got to keep up. I'm going to Steed Hatchie for 2 days. You know me. I'm going to get my tan on at Steed Hatchie.
Unlike most people, I'm hoping to get paler because I don't plan on leaving my house very often. I want to just lay in bed and do nothing. Maybe catch one spring training game. My girlfriend wants me to go to the beach. I'm hoping to avoid that one.
Leave me alone.
It's a good thing she doesn't listen to the podcast.
But yeah, I need spring break. Like I said, I'm getting short of people. I'm getting agitated. Ignorance is starting to really get to me on campus, so I need spring break to just sort of get away from it a little bit.
And I got her to watch The Wire, so we'll be watching plenty of The Wire during spring break. That's what I'm hoping my spring break is, just filled of Omar killing people.
Spoilers. Jesus.
Right, Omar never killed anyone.
Give your Reggie.
All right. I don't have anything good. I'm sorry. So my Reggie is going to go to the month of March. It's here. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You could have given it to Rutgers.
March is what?
You could have given it to Rutgers.
Yeah, I could have.
I mean,
they need double Reggie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, March is my favorite college sport month for the obvious reasons. But not only is the NCAA tournament great, I love all the conference tournaments. Mm-hmm. I'm especially crazy. I love all the small conference tournaments. I really hope Morehead State can pull it out this year again, get back to the dance. Hopefully they don't get in that play-in game
Phil
again.
Phil Sims alumni?
That's neither here nor there. And then my March is even better than usual because I'm definitely going to RUP, which I'm really looking forward to.
Woo!
And if the Gators get in, we could be covering a regional, all of us together, which would be great. So hopefully that happens. March, good times for all.
Yeah, absolutely. March, big month. Too much madness, one could even say.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll move on here and give out our Gator guarantees before we move on to the ones this week. We're going to review the
really
ones
we made. I really slipped into Phil territory with Gator guarantees. I can't remember last time I was right.
All right, we'll start with yours from last week then. You said Florida would win two of its last three games. They've lost.
I said lose. You didn't. You wrote it down.
Clearly you misspoke.
It sounded very weird.
It was just Kyle covering his mouth as he said the first word. They're going to remember the two of the last three.
Florida will play two of its last three games.
Obviously, Florida has already lost two of its last three. They have a hot chance to lose three of their last three. So you already dropped that one.
That's an embarrassing loss. Not only was I wrong, but not all three games even need to be played. It was just they just lost the first two right away.
I'm right here with you, because right after I said Kenny Boynton would make less than 20% of his threes before the... up until the end of the SEC tournament, I think, was the confusing language we eventually came to. Kenny Boynton goes out and shoots 6 for 9. He would really have to try hard here. He shot 1 of 6. He's still going to have to, just completely crap the bed in these last couple games.
7 for 15. Yeah,
looking good for
you. He's coming. He needs a bunch of gophers.
He can do it.
Big game against Kentucky for him. He needs to go about 0 for 12.
They have to win some games at the tournament. He's got to have enough opportunity.
Right. If Kenny Boynton goes 0 for double digit from 3, oh my gosh, I can't handle that.
Right, so... You and I not doing so hot. Mike McCall, on the other hand, called Florida losing to Georgia. It wasn't the boldest of predictions, but still, I mean, we all kind of thought Florida would come away with that one. Mike said they would lose to Georgia, and they did. And our special guest at the time, Ben Volen from the Palm Beach Post, said made a long-term one. We don't have whether it was right or not. Tim Tebow would be the eighth Gator drafted, which...
The eighth?
The eighth.
He actually sounds outrageous.
Yeah,
it's actually not that crazy.
Yeah, no.
For someone who loves Tebow as much as Ben does, that's kind of surprising.
Well, he loves all Gators. Not just Tebow.
I disagree with Ben. I don't think he'll be the eighth. I think he'll be the sixth or the seventh. But
yeah, it's not that far
when you
off.
Actually
okay.
do it, it's not so crazy.
Right.
We're not going to do it.
It was a good Gator guarantee from Ben. I was impressed.
Not bad.
To come in, I think that may have been his first one, possibly his second. It was good work from Ben. But that's a long term one. We'll be talking about that later.
It's the only good work Ben's ever done. Don't worry, he doesn't listen to this.
He said it, I didn't.
He doesn't sign my checks, thank God.
All right, well, let's make some for this week. Let's go big.
Get checks from Palm Beach Post.
No, absolutely.
And when we're going to go big on our Gator guarantees, the only person we can start with is Phil.
Well, of course, and I'm not going to disappoint Barry, because I will say that you will definitely be covering the NIT for us during this NCAA tournament to ruin all of our hopes of covering the NCAA tournament. There's nothing I want more than for that to be wrong.
Phil just hates me.
He's and myself? I want to cover the NCAA tournament.
You hate yourself a little bit. I know who you are.
Probably.
You're a little...
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
All right, Bob.
All right, well, mine's going to be... It's going to take place 2 weeks from now at U.S. Pro Day. Joe Hayden's going to redeem himself. He's going to run a 4.3 something.
Wow.
Jesus.
Is it going to be because he's actually that fast, or is it going to be because
a little
help?
A little bit of both. He's probably going to run a 4.4, but he gets a little bit of both.
I do think we should bring our own stopwatches if we can.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm for it. It's impossible to time. I'll wear
it now. Yeah, I know.
But, hard, but it's still fun. I'll do it. We'll actually look like we belong.
We'll give our own official 40 time.
Sounds good. We'll average all our 40 times.
It'll be the alligator report of this. Yeah. Official
Mine's
time.
Gonna be the fastest four. He ran a 4.16.
Yeah. I got a 2.3 right here.
Ryan right. Stamper, he ran a 4.7. It was really fast for him.
All right, I guess I'll go ahead and make mine. I'm gonna go even bigger than Phil here.
Whoa!
Yeah, bum, 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 this is the biggest.
Florida, for winning the championship? No, I'm just kidding.
The NCAA championship? Yes. No. Florida beats Kentucky on the road in Rupp.
Be great. I'm actually
in Lexington. Jesus.
I really want them to be Kentucky and lose in the first round.
Just so
to see what happens.
Be, right?
Yeah, I just want to see what happens now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's like...
Who doesn't want that?
It's like we were talking about earlier, like, they're in every game they play at this point. They come out hot.
Right, know. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it'll be a blowout, for sure. Like, Florida's pretty much in every game. They were within five or so of Kentucky.
Now that you said that, it has to be a blowout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. You shouldn't have said anything. I need you to not believe it. This is all me. I'm going to will this to happen. I'm going to will myself to the NCAA tournament. Kyle?
This team won't do it. I'll do it.
Bring it home.
All right, I'm going to continue my streak of unprepared mediocrity. Mine has something to do with sports, but nothing to do with any sports anyone cares about, except for the people in this room.
Ooh.
I'm going to say our flag football team makes it to the championship game in the rec playoffs.
Woo!
Assuming everyone stays healthy, which is rough for me sometimes, but... We're undefeated going into the playoffs. Meetings tonight. We'll see what kind of draw we get. But I think we got it in us. So I'm going to make that game.
I mean, we'll make it as long as we stick by the main rule. Get the ball to Bobby. You get the ball to me.
Yeah, I'm going to try to snap it over Bobby's head 6 times in a game.
Well, you guys are the 99 Rams of rec football teams, right? You guys are just putting up 65 points per game.
We're real good for a rec team. We probably shouldn't be in rec. And you can decide whether or not we should take pride in the fact that we're running through the rec league. But
I think you should.
We'll see what happens.
Just take pride in everything you do, Kyle.
Never
Thank
played
you.
4-on-4, so this is a great season.
Yeah. I'm being serious, though. Get the ball to Bobby.
I know you are.
I thought you were going to say something about our intramural basketball team, which is...
I like to believe that
gone the other way.
Adam not heard the news.
No, I have. That's why I thought you were going to somehow will us into. Thought you were going to will us into the playoffs with that.
Terrible about that. I could have given Rec Sports a Kyle Jackson, but they just have a lifelong Kyle Jackson for me.
Forever.
They've never done anything right ever. The accommodation is not what they do. They just hate everyone. They're mean.
They're just a bunch of meanies.
They're not understanding. Like I hate Rec Sports.
So unfortunately, my era of just making it rain, coming in, being the microwave for intramural basketball,
it's
at an end. It's good. My jam figures.
It's over at intramurals. I've been, you know, now that I've given up on school for this semester, I've just been in Southwest, rain and jump shots around 3:30 every day.
I was with them yesterday. We had a nice little 3-point shootout. He edged me out 18-9, I believe. It was one of my best. I started off hot.
All right,
and then
It just went downhill.
What was it, 9 for how many did you take, 25?
Yeah.
All right, Kenny Boyden, 9 for 25. Yeah, that's what good. I need out of Kenny Boyden is some 9 for 25 mm-hmm. performances.
All right. I'm going to have one plea to our listeners.
What's that?
Once again, it's about our game plan. Remind Kyle, send emails, tell him, get the ball to Bobby.
You can send those requests to podcast@alligator.org or to noonecares@alligator.org.
No one will be open
/
up.
Bobby.
canolyone@ufl.edu. All of them should go there.
Yeah, all, yeah, it, yeah, flag football requests should go to Bobby.
If you send it to me, I'll make sure to forward it.
Right. Right. Send any feedback you have about the show, maybe about any potential shows, to podcast@alligator.org. There could be a vaunted road podcast coming up this weekend. Anything you want to hear out of that? Anything you don't want to hear out of that? We're probably going to do it anyways. And some things you never thought you didn't want to hear out of that show. So look forward to that.
Involving perhaps a sex columnist.
And we're out.
End the show, Barry!